Were any of your formative crushes cartoon characters? Are any of your current crushes cartoon characters? If so, this is an auditory safe space for your desires. I'm comedy writer and 41-year-old child Gabby Hutchison Crouch, and I'm capable of crushing on those sexy little bits of acetate like there's no tomorrow. I'm here to talk about why they appeal with the help of some funny guests who are here for a chat about the animated characters that spark off a lengthy song and dance routine in their hearts, all surrounded by flowers and bluebirds and that. Will we find out something about early crushes, pop culture and sexuality, or will we just talk at length about that scene in Laputa where their shirts rip off? Whatever we do, I hope it'll reassure you that that mental image you keep getting about Daphne and Velma from Scooby-Doo enthusiastically scissoring each other while Fred and Shaggy watch and make out a little is absolutely fine. Welcome to Curiously Drawn. With me this episode is an award-winning stand-up comedian and comedy writer. She's appeared on The Now Show, Unspun with Matt Ford, and once BBC Question Time when people on Twitter got upset at her because people on Twitter only ever watch Question Time to get upset about something. She got me into drinking aloe vera juice, which I still consider to be the fanciest of all treat drinks, and the only time we ever fell out was over who we ship Annie from Community with, Jeff or Albed. It's Grainne Maguire.
Hello!
Hello! Hello! How are you?
I'm very happy to be here, and I'm very happy that somebody is finally normalising fancying cartoons. So I think you're a real trailblazer.
Thank you. Yeah, I am a hero. Well, it comes from, as I'm going to say a few times, it comes from a lot of things. It comes from me sort of looking back on having a little think now that I'm finally out as bi. I came out as bi at 39, and it was been sort of thinking back about all the times where, in retrospect, that obsession I had with a cartoon lady totally makes sense now. And I'll be thinking a little bit about that. Also, my daughter's become like, my daughter's a teenager now and she's become a real anime girl, and she's got me all into all of her little anime shows. And so many of them are about teenagers having adventures, but there's always like a teen dad who's like this really tired guy in his 30s who's sick of all their nonsense, and I just constantly go for that guy. He's a trope in every single one of the animes that my daughter likes, and with that one, the really tired adult who's just had enough and wants to sit down.
It's mad because animes, they're so like cool. Like, I never grew up with animes whatsoever. Mm. And then you sort of see all these sort of like cool, like really sort of like sexy cartoons. It's just like this whole other, yes, it's a real gear change in my brain. I think I'm so used to like Disney cartoons being sort of bland and yeah. So yes, it's a whole other world.
Yeah, there's a wonderful weird world out there. Ready to consume.
I think I'm scared to get into anime. I feel like I would just lose decades of my life. So I'm just going to, it's kind of like drugs. It's like, it didn't happen for me at the right time. So I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've got Funimation so that my daughter can keep up to date with them all. And also so that I can keep up to date with them all now. Because, like, Netflix, like, introduces you to these shows. Netflix has usually got the first season of it, of all these anime shows. It has the first season for a few months and then it goes again. And you're like, well, I'm now invested in this story. I need to find out. So, yeah, we've got Funimation. And there's so much of it. It's a huge, huge, huge thing. There are so many of these stories and they're really well told, and a lot of them are really well animated. And then you've got just silly stuff. So Netflix does its own as well. We've got silly things like Way of the House Husband, which I'm obsessed with, which is basically a PowerPoint. It's horribly, the horrible stilted animation is like an actual choice that they made because the creator wanted it to be as like the manga, which is like the cartoon strip, as possible. So it's just resulted in like, you know, on CBeebies where they like tell a story from a book and the only animation would be like very ropey, cut out bits from the illustration of the book sort of bobbing up and down to show that they were walking. It's basically that.
I think I remember the first moment I realised, hang on a sec, it's just their mouth that moves. It was a real like eye-opener to the world of showbiz.
Well, I mean, if you look at the old Danger Mouses, sometimes their mouth doesn't even move in that. because there were like three people animating Danger Mouse. There was like no money for the animation at all. So often when they're talking, they've both got them, like Danger Mouse and Penfold both have their mouths like below the dashboard of the car. So they don't have to animate, they don't even have to animate their mouths. And obviously they always get stuck in a dark cave for a while, so that all they have to do is have like three eyes bobbing around. Speaking of the 80s, let's go with your first choice. So your first choice is lonely, he's childish, he's incompetent, he's pathetic. His behaviour often suggests that he's actually having some sort of a breakdown. He is, however, caring since he surrounds himself with pets, even though those pets intensely disrespect him on a daily basis. His only friend is a cat, and in that friendship, he is not the brains of the outfit. It's Jonathan Q. Arbuckle, the pathetic owner of Garfield. This is a wonderful choice. I love it. And you describe him as pathetic John in your notes to me. So besides the point, I mean, there are some plus points. He is very caring, and I'm a cat lover, and I appreciate another cat lover. But why don't you talk me through what you find attractive in John?
Well, I guess, so there's several things. First of all, there's something so inherently pathetic and desperate about John. And I think even at a very young age, I picked up on that. And I just thought he will be a grateful boy. He always seemed he was always single. he could never get a girlfriend. He was always pining after the vet who looked after Garfield. So I kind of, that sort of beta male energy, he was a very safe choice. And I just thought he kind of, you know, like your friends. I didn't have any brothers. And I thought having a brother was the most glamorous thing in the whole world. And I got real like my friend's older brother vibe, you know, like that sort of like glamorous, mysterious figure, you know. When you stayed at a friend's house, that would be kind of like skulking around the kitchen in the morning. That's what I got from John Arbuckle.
He's so gloriously uncool. And yeah, I like the idea that he would be like, he'd be really grateful of anything. Gratitude can be sexy. Just feeling like, yes, I have done you a huge favour here.
He just seems so... he just seems so... nerd. It's like so pathetic, and he's a bit like, and it kind of makes me furious when I see it in stand-up, because we all see those male comedians who do that whole persona of like, oh, I can't get a girlfriend, and it works so much, and you know that it is complete nonsense, and they have like a Russian supermodel girlfriend, but on stage it is just so attractive, like just patheticness.
I totally get that. We've both judged a lot of sort of early stand-up contests, and so many of like sort of the route one introduction for like a straight male stand-up just sort of starting to work out what his act going to be is, So my girlfriend dumped me. Waiting for the audience to go, aww. And then they go into their Tinder routine, which is always blessed from the same routine as all the other guys. So yeah, I feel like, yeah, John would be very much like, so my girlfriend dumped me. But anyway, my cat ruined my date and I don't know. the question I have to ask is he actually having a breakdown? Because Garfield never actually replies to him. He talks to his cat, but the cat just thinks about what a loser he is. So is all of this just him talking to his pets and him imagining his pets hating him?
You make it sound like a Joker prequel, you know, that he's going to like have a nervous breakdown, go on a rampage.
Life with John is not normal.
Garfield, I'm going to go down to the mall and pep dance in my underwear with a balloon animal tied to my head and a pineapple in each hand.
Again.
I can't having a rampage. I don't think he'd be competent enough to go on a rampage. I think he might attempt it and then he'd just fall over his own shoes or something.
And I think as well with John, now I'm thinking about it, there's the suggestion that he has curly hair. And I just, curly hair on boys is just, oh my God, it's just the cutest thing. It's that curly hair. It's the patheticness, the curly hair. And yeah, like I think, because it's the whole question of the whole Garfield universe. Can John hear Garfield's thoughts? Or does he just spend so much time with his cat, with Garfield, that, you know, that they just, he kind of can pick up on his thoughts.
Oh, maybe. Like,
it's the tension that keeps people returning, isn't it?
Because I'm a cat lover. I've got a cat. And I do like to sort of imagine, I have conversations with her where I'm doing her side of the conversation. Sometimes I'll vocalize it. Sometimes I won't. But no, I totally get that. I will talk to her. I'll sing to her. And then in my head, she'll be calling me an idiot for singing her a song. I do understand that. Having suggested that he's having a breakdown, I think this might just be standard cat lover behavior.
I mean, it's not going well.
And it's sweet that he obviously loves
his
cat.
And he... No. And he's got, what's the dog as well?
Odie
as well. You see, oh God, he's got the little dog. And then Nermal from next door.
Yeah.
I just think he's a little douche. He's a little douche. And he would be a grateful boyfriend.
He would. He is also, he's a musician. He can play the guitar and the accordion, admittedly not very well, according to the comics. He can play guitar and accordion. He's nerdy and his name is John, which means that he should, by rights, be a member of They Might Be Giants. Just playing a little bit of whimsical mid-90s pop. And he does eventually win Liz over. In the canon, he started dating Liz in 2006. It's going quite well. I looked up, I did a bit of research, Ronya. And in the second Garfield movie, where John is played by, you know, the cute stoner from Clueless who ends up with Brittany Murphy?
Oh!
Yeah, he's played by that actor. Which is sweet. It's nice to see him doing well in a film. In the second Garfield movie, he proposes to Liz. So that's quite sweet.
I think I just love in films and TV programs, I just love when there's like a male character who pines for another character. And I don't mean like in a like creepy stalky way. I mean like has got an obvious crush.
Yeah,
like I'm thinking Niles in Frasier, obviously.
Oh,
the icon.
Yes.
It's just so attractive. It's just so, I just, oh.
It is attractive. And yeah, I loved Niles for that reason. We're heading out of cartoon characters here, but no, I totally... He's got big sort of Niles lusting after Daphne energy, hasn't he?
He really does. So it makes me, and I love a will they, won't they. So I'm very glad that, you know, they get together.
One other nugget of information, I found out that he was initially the protagonist of Garfield, and the comic strip was called John, and it didn't have a cat in it at all. It was just about a loser called John, and nobody liked it until Jim Davies added a cat. Aww. And then everybody loved it. And I feel like that sums up their relationship so well, that it was initially his cartoon and everyone hated it. And then it was like, oh, what if he gets a cat? Brilliant, make it about the cat.
Oh, my God. That's like, you know, those stories you read about people who go to an audition and then they bring their sister along because they have to babysit. And then the sister gets the part.
That is pure John. we're going sort of from one... beta sidekick to another sort of slightly beta sidekick, and I'm glad you brought this up because you made me remember that I quite liked this character as well back when I was a kid. So your second choice is the cute, sweet-natured and easily worried best friend to a picnic thief. it's not certain whether he's a child who wears a bow tie or a small, rather naive adult. What we do know is that he definitely shits in the woods, or in this case, in the national park. It's Yogi Bear's little friend, Boo Boo.
Gabby, I fancy Boo Boo so much.
Oh, I really liked him as well. I thought it was sweet, and it is quite cute. He seems so nice.
He's just so Yogi. Obviously, Yogi Bear was the cool one. He was the troublemaker. He was the renegade.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all like Yogis. But Boo Boo was like, even to saying his name, Boo Boo, with his huge big brown eyes. And he was just always just like trying to look out for Yogi. And he was like really sweet. And he did his little bow tie. And I just thought he was the most adorable. And you know what it was? It was like he was like shorter than Yogi. So when I was little, I was like, oh, he's probably like my size. You know, you like people who you think are like, oh, he's like me. And I just thought he was the most cutest thing in the whole world. And I just really, really wanted to get married to Boo Boo.
He's like a teddy bear.
He was my guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, because Yogi's like proper bear size, you know. Yogi's the size of a shed. Yeah. Yogi looks like he could kill you.
Yeah.
But Boo Boo looks like a teddy bear because he's this tiny little cute thing in a little bow tie. Whereas on Yogi, the hat and the work collar and tie looks almost threatening. I'm going to say it now. It looks a little bit threatening. If you were to see like a full-sized adult bear coming at you in a hat and just the collar of a shirt and a tie, that would be fucking terrifying. Whereas a tiny little cute little bear with great big eyes and a little bow tie, that's adorable.
And I think it was like, so if you think of your classic boy band structure, I would say Yogi is like the sexy, loud one, like your Robbie Williams.
He's the John Lennon, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think Boo Boo would be your Mark Owen, your like the nice boy.
He's the Paul.
Yeah. So I just thought it was just, I just loved him. I just genuinely, you know, wanted to get married to Boo Boo. I think I was about six maybe, and I just, you know, you don't really understand things about life. And I just thought, oh, well, I'll just get married to Boo Boo.
I think that's legit. I think I was a similar kind of age and I was like, yeah, this is a really sweet boy. This is good boyfriend material. I did a bit of research and I looked him up and apparently it is unclear whether he's a very small, very naive adult or whether he's quite a precocious child.
Forgot to let go, Yogi.
Quiet, Boo-Boo. It don't mean a thing if you don't pull it straight.
Okie dokie, Yogi.
Geronimo!
I gotta admit, you don't quit, Yogi.
Let's blast off, Boo-Boo.
Don't forget to write if you find work.
I think if he's a child, it's like, why is he hanging around with this giant thief bear? Is there some sort of, you gotta wonder if it's a sort of a Bill Sykes and Oliver situation going on where Yogi's trying to sort of groom this child bear into being another thief. And why that, like, that is his only friend in the, why that's his only friend in the forest. It's a bit odd, but apparently he is meant to be like Yogi's conscience. So he's the one, he's like the little shoulder angel to Yogi, sort of always telling him, well, maybe don't steal that picnic basket because Mr. Ranger will be mad.
80s was a great time for cartoon animals that everybody had crushes on. Just in general, I think it must have, what was going on? Something weird was, because trying to think up of ones, I was, you know, obviously I didn't want to go for the obvious Disney Robin Hood Fox, because I felt like that's too obvious. Everybody's already picked him.
He has already been picked.
Oh, I mean, come on. But then I was thinking as well, just earlier, like Dog Tanyan.
Oh, Aramis, the one with the Cocker Spaniel one with the ears. I was very, he was very like, he was into poetry and stuff like that. He was my favourite.
They were just harsh. They just were, you know, and I think it was because they had the big eyes and they were short. I think they were non-threatening.
Yes, I think another part of the problem was that so many of there was so much sort of hyper-masculine sort of type about the 80s, about 80s masculinity, mm-hmm. and the type of men that were being presented to us, the whole sort of Conan Barbarian, and in like cartoons and stuff like that. So many of the men, even the boys, were like really, really jacked. And that always feels like it. I mean, I'm sure plenty of women and other people who fancy men are into that whole sort of jacked beefcake thing. But for me, it doesn't. I've never been into sort of beefcake. It always feels like it's maybe more of a male power fantasy than a sexual fantasy. That's something for like the female and the gay point of view. Because yeah, even then, I'm sort of thinking back to sort of like 80s human boys and men that I liked, and they're all quite sort of slender, and they're all kind of problematic as well. They're all sort of quite complex. So yeah, I think maybe we often went for like the animal guys because they didn't tend to have that whole sort of jacked he-man sort of male power sort of build to them, if you know what
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, there was like a vulnerability and they were just, yeah, they seemed very safe and not boys, you know, like smelly boys. They seemed like, yeah, very safe option.
Yeah, because Boo Boo is quite sensitive. I can't find anything about this online because there's not much about Boo Boo online. But I'm sure I remember an episode of one of the Yogi Bear cartoons where they have a falling out, Boo Boo and Yogi, over something. And Boo Boo goes off and is crying so hard that he falls off a bridge.
Oh.
I remember finding that sort of quite thrilling. I had a little sort of funny tummy moment, the idea that he was in peril, but it was just, it came from such a place of sort of emotional and physical vulnerability that I totally get what you're saying about the appeal of Boo Boo.
And the thing is, my boyfriend now looks like Boo Boo. I swear to God, I can send, he'll kill me, but I can send.
Is he a tiny bear?
He looks like a little bear. He genuinely does. He genuinely looks like a little bear. We live in Paddington. He looks like a bear. And I genuinely feel like... Yeah, I feel like there's a direct connection between my relationship now and Yogi and Boo Boo. It's the same. It's the exact, and I'm very much the Yogi in our relationship in that I'm always getting myself in disgrace.
You are. You're a big thief bear of a woman.
I'm always getting into scrapes. I'm always forgetting things, losing things, stealing picnic baskets and...
Stealing picnics.
In trouble with authority. And my boyfriend's job is very much to try and extricate myself from troubles that I create for myself. So, yeah, this is deep.
And to be your little voice of conscience.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I love that journey for you.
I'm an awful person and he, you know, reminds me to be good.
Oh, I'm so glad that it all worked out for you. So maybe that makes your third choice moot, but I'm going to go through with him anyway because we've had a couple of betas and now we're going to go for a little alpha. He's still a very little alpha, though. So our third choice is another cute anthropomorphic animal boy from the 60s, but we know him from his 80s iteration. He was initially created as the lead singer in a fictional novelty pop group. He's the cheeky, charming, faintly egotistical troublemaker who dresses in red. C-H-I-P-M-U-N-K, he's guaranteed to brighten your day. It's Alvin Seville from Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, the bad boy.
You're one bad boy.
He's a little...
List.
He really is. I don't know if I can swear. Can I
yeah,
swear?
Yeah, I've said fuck. It's fine.
He's a little shit, isn't he? He seems like an absolute little shit.
He is a little shit.
You know, like, I don't know if you were, you know, like, there's like, let's say Blur. So I used to really, I love Blur, but I used to say my favourite was Graham from Blur, because in my head I was like, oh, well, you know, I thought I'd have more of a chance with Graham than I would with Damon Albarn, even though I fancy Damon Albarn. And I just feel like with the Chipmunks, I just had a moment of confidence where I was like, no, I like Alvin. The main one.
The Damon of the Chipmunks. So would Simon be the Graham of the Chipmunks?
I think Theodore maybe would be Graham, and then Simon would be Alex.
Oh, okay.
Because Simon was quite skinny, wasn't he?
Yes, and tall and skinny.
The nerdy one. Yeah. Oh, God. Maybe Graham would be Simon. It's tricky, isn't it?
It is tricky. Anyway, I don't think it matters.
Alex likes cheese. Alex
will be Theodore. Probably would be
Theodore.
Yes.
Yeah. But Alvin was the loud one. Yeah. He was the confident one. He was the one, you know, who like all the girls liked. So I just was like, I liked Alvin. I thought he would be a hoosh. I thought he'd be like the ultimate, if you were like 10, like cool boy to have as your boyfriend.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, yeah, my boyfriend's in a pop group. And everybody would know who he was. And he'd be a little bit cheeky. Bush, he's a nice guy behind it all.
Yeah, I think he's probably the most well-rounded of the Seville brothers, because with the other two, they have like one big character trait. Simon's brainy, Theodore is sweet and likes food. Whereas Alvin's got like his personality traits, you know, he's got a mix of like positive and negative, because he does have some proper flaws to create narrative tension. So he can be vain and he can be selfish and he can be egotistical. And he could be really rude as well, but he is also kind and loving.
He's the anti-hero. He's the complex lead character.
Yeah.
He's the Tony Soprano of the Chipmunks. You're like, which way will he go? And then, of course, there was competition because there was the female Chipmunks.
The Chipettes. Who are their competition and also their girlfriends. Yeah.
And I didn't like them. I hated them.
It is a weird setup that they've got, because they've got the same story as the Chipmunks. They are three sisters. They've got exactly the same personality types and colour scheme as the brothers. They all date so you've got three brothers dating three sisters, which feels kind of weird anyway. And they're all just dating themselves. It's very much this whole sort of Mickey Mouse dating Minnie Mouse, who's just Mickey Mouse with a bow in his hair. They are just girl versions of the boys. And that they even call themselves the Chipettes. They're like completely defined around the male characters. You know, this is a cartoon that was very obviously written by a bloke.
It's very almost, do I want to say Freudian? Like, you need to learn to love yourself. So you have to embrace the male or female part of your personality and really enter into relationship with that before you can then go into the world and date other people. So maybe that's what it was really about.
Oh, that's interesting. It does mean at least that there are some nice sparks between Alvin and Brittany, because they both have exactly the same character flaws in that they're both quite vain and egotistical and rude. So when you put like Simon and girl Simon together, then they'll talk about science. But if you put Alvin and Brittany together, then they will have arguments because they're both kind of dickish.
You guys were great. Wonderful. Not bad. Remember, you're coming to the house for the big celebration. And don't take forever, Brittany. I will wear no hairdo before it's time. Oh, come on.
They are the Liz Taylor and Richard Burton of 80s comics. You know, it's not going to last, but my God, the fireworks on the way.
The spark.
The passion.
Yes. And I suppose they get get some good. They get some good songs out of that spark. I was looking up some of the old ones. My kids briefly got into the Chipmunks. It was around the same time as the movie, the first one of the movies, unfortunately, which we did have to watch. But they also sort of got into the cartoon movies, which were quite good because there were some pretty good animated movies about the Chipmunks around the sort of late 90s, early noughties. They Universal sort of mashed them up with their sort of monster. You know how they tried to do the MCU, but with the Universal monsters.
Oh my god!
Yeah, they sort of tried to mash them up with
crazy
Dracula and the Wolfman and stuff like that. Which they're actually quite good, sort of little Halloween-y adventures. Like, you know, they're sort of straight to DVD things that you get. That you put on for the kiddie winks while you get on with something. They were all right.
Well, it's because I only saw little trailers because I just know them from the cartoons.
Sure.
And it's like you're in the cartoons, you're like, we're in a fantasy world. You know, the three chipmunks living with a single man, and that's just normal. And I think when you see the later films where it's like really good CGI, it's really unnerving because you're like, what are these three chipmunks doing? It's so weird.
And there's a new series where they're like really, really anthropomorphized. They're barely chipmunks at all. They look like boys, but like tiny boys. It is kind of strange looking. Thankfully my children are too old for that now, but there's something really uncanny valley about the new ones, I think.
Because watching it straight after I watched a few old episodes of Garfield, there's a lot of single dads working through stuff in the 80s, wasn't there? Between John and what was the chipmunk's dad?
Dave Seville. And I'm very into, I've got to say here, I'm really into Dave. I'm very into like emotionally vulnerable, tired dads at the moment. That's the thing. So I'm like, I'm vibing with this. I'm like, yes. Yes, you would give. I, you know, you feel like, again, Dave would be grateful. Mm-hmm. Dave would like give amazing head if you promised to do the washing up.
You'd have to get the chipmunks out. You'd have to get them out of the house. They're on tour.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be fine. They can go off and they can sing a song to their eerie girlfriends. We'll just have like quick tired sex.
Hello, Dave?
Hello, Alvin. Alvin, what is it?
I just missed the sound of your voice.
And he's thinking, why did I adopt these three chipmunks and force them into showbiz and become their tour manager, as well as trying to maintain a life balance as well? He's got a lot on his plate. I don't know what his backstory is, but he's working through stuff.
He's a songwriter because he's based on the... All of these dads' characters are basically the creators self-inserting themselves. he's based on the creator of the Chipmunks from back in the 60s. He's a songwriter. I think that the official canon goes that a chipmunk woman just, like, dumped her three chipmunks on the doorstep of this songwriter, and he was like, okay, that means they're mine now. And then he sort of, looked after them as their father slash agent slash manager and wrote them songs that were curiously, like, current pop songs for them to sing. It's a bit of an odd backstory, but again, it's the creators' self-inserts, hot dads.
It's very similar. You could imagine that as like a superhero villain, like beginner, like abandoned in woods by your parents, raised by, a troubled man. It's very like, DC origin story.
Is this his Joker story? Alvin the Joker.
Yeah, I thought he just seemed like an absolute bop, really confident, really charming. I thought he would just make a great boyfriend. All of these are just boyfriends, apart from John. that was more like, ooh, ooh, it's the older brother, ooh. The other two just like dream.
Yeah, nice boyfriend. So you've got your boyfriend. Nice boyfriend and your cheeky boyfriend. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, and the boyfriend that makes me feel all, ooh. Ooh.
So this brings me to my last question, Grania, which is, if I produced a magic wand that gave me the power to bring one of these cartoon characters into the real world and make them flesh and blood, which one would you choose and would you pursue that person?
So I would choose Boo Boo.
Yeah.
Because I think he is very similar to my own boyfriend. And I think the three of us would live very happily as a throuple. I think we would make it work. I think we would have great adventures together. And two of them looking after, if nothing else, my diary would really make my life a lot less stressful.
I think that's a really good choice, Grania. Before you go, is there anything you'd like to give a shout out about?
If you want to follow me on Twitter, follow me on Twitter. It is Grania McGuire. GrainneMaguire. And you'll find out everything that I'm doing there.
Yay! Thank you very much, Grania.
Thank you.
Huge thanks to Grania McGuire there. I'm Gabby Hutchison-Crouch. For more credits and details, see @curiously_drawn on Twitter.